Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. So today we will continue with our series on the Holy Spirit. Today our topic is the gift of the Spirit, and our text is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 14. So reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 onwards. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, that even as we are all so different, Lord, we have one God. And you, Lord, we can find unity. We can find, Lord, this under your Lordship, Lord, we can find what that unites us, God. And even as we see, Lord, these gifts that can be a division among Christians, Lord, we ask that even as we explore this topic, God, that we will be mindful and we will be careful, and we will also, Lord, learn to see your perspective on all this, God. Let us not shy away from these topics, Lord, but help us, Lord, to yearn and seek the Holy Spirit for these gifts. So as we explore this, Lord, we pray that you grant us wisdom, open our minds, open our hearts, speak to us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the last couple of weeks, we have saw how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, how the Holy Spirit renews us, leads us to Christ, making us more like Jesus. And once the Spirit was only seen and to be manifested in a few specific people in the Old Testament. But in the last days, since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out to all believers. And one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is He leads us to build the church. So the Holy Spirit gives us means of grace to lead His people into unity. In the book of Acts, we see that the early church showed a great example of that unity when believers shared everything with one another. They meet each other's needs. There was no lack in the church. So the church was united. And some of the things that the Holy Spirit used to build that unity is the teaching of the word, prayer, private and communal prayers, fellowship, the sharing of lives with one another, and the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. So the Lord, the Holy Spirit instituted these practices to lead the church to unity under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And last few weeks, we explored how the Holy Spirit creates in us the fruit of the Spirit so that we would learn to love and care for one another in the church. And then similarly, today, as we look at the gifts of the Spirit, it's also a means that God, the Holy Spirit, endows upon each believer so that we can use our gifts to build the church in unity by serving one another. So the first thing that we need to get right is the gifts are from God. So verse 1 says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So spiritual gifts are from God. It does not belong to us. And since the gifts are from God, we are not owners, but stewards. It is not given to us so that we can do whatever we want to do with it, but we are actually held accountable with what we are doing with these gifts, just like the servants in the parable of the talents. And secondly, spiritual gifts cannot be manufactured by our own doings. So we can desire specific gifts and pray along these desires, but it is the Spirit who gives. God decides who gets what, and His purpose is to build the church, to build unity so that His people can serve one another and meet each other's needs. And if we get this right, that the gifts of the Spirit is from God and God determines what gifts to give, and the purpose is of these gifts is to glorify God by serving one another, then actually we can eliminate a lot of problems. Because firstly, all gifts are good. And all gifts are good and beneficial for the body because it comes from God. And all good gifts come from God. And all gifts from God are good because God is good. And since all gifts are good, no gift is greater than the other. So God does not practice favoritism. Everybody is equal in His eyes. So He loves us all the same. His expectation on us is all the same. And therefore, when He bestows His gifts upon His children, He gives the gifts to individual based on what is good, what is appropriate for that person in his or her context. So since all gifts are good, since no gift is better, and since God gives according to His sovereignty, no one can feel superior or inferior to others based on the gifts they have. But often this is the tricky one that we struggle with. We all know this. We know that we shouldn't, but we still fall into the trap into either being too prideful and self-righteous because of what we can offer, or we become self-pitied, feeling that we are not good enough, so we are not needed. And this is the influence of the world manifesting in our lives and the church. As the Bible tells us that spiritual gifts are not a means for validation, but the pagans, the world culture, teach us that it is. So before some of you were Christians, or even if you were born in the Christian family, I'm sure you have friends or you have heard of these experiences, the aesthetic or trance experience that people in other religion have. So, and why people like to go to BOMOs, which are a witch doctor or fortune tellers who are known of their trance experiences, they assume that these people are closer to God. So they have more wisdom and more insights than the common people. So they assume that the more spiritual experiences they have, the more holy and closer to God they are. And on the other hand, the postmodernism world cultures, they are not as focused on the spiritual experiences as the pagans, but their worldview says that the worth of a person is tied to his or her abilities. So it's the gift, the talents, and competency that validates the value of a person. So you are more valuable when you have more to bring to the table. And unfortunately, these worldviews have crept into our Christian beliefs. So like the church in Corinth, we too are guilty of in comparing our gifts and classifying which gifts are better than the other, and which group of people are more spiritual or more holy and better than the other. And this is hurting us as a church. It is hurting others in the church. It breaks relationship. It damages the church. And it also grieves the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives this gift, and He works in us. So He's giving us these graces, these fruits, these gifts to promote unity. But in return, we are bringing division with the way we handle spiritual gifts. And Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to you, every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with what faith God has distributed to each of you." So Paul is saying we are not to think more highly. And at the same time, you also not to think of ourselves more lowly than what we are. We need to remember that all of us have different gifts. We are not higher or lower just because we have certain gifts that we think is greater or lesser. It is God who distributed to each gifts to each of us. There is no higher or lower gifts. And then in back to 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 3, it says that the gifts of the Spirit comes from the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. So calling Jesus as Lord means recognizing that he is the master and we are his servant. Calling Jesus as Lord means we submit to the will of the Father in obedience. Calling Jesus as Lord is dying to self. It is taking up our cross for Jesus. If we truly submit to the Lordship of Jesus, we will understand that Jesus calls his disciples to love one another as he loved them. We will understand that even Jesus, our Master, our Lord, came to serve as a servant. He rebuked his disciples when they were competing to be the greatest among them. He confronted the world's culture of power and of position by taking the role of a slave to wash his disciples' feet. And in order to show his love, he sacrificed himself. He laid down his life to save his people. So those who call Jesus their Lord, those who submit to the will of God, they are given the gifts of the Spirit. So instead of comparing, we should use our gifts to serve others, to serve each other like our Lord did. So the gifts of the Spirit is distributed by the Spirit, and they are given for us to be used to serve and strengthen others in the body of Christ. So that means that the service, the ministry to one another is not manufactured. It is an expression of our submission and our devotion to Jesus as our Lord. And when we use these gifts to serve, to minister to one another, God comes in and he fuels our love, our passion for him and for one another, and he blesses the work that we do. And then in verse 4, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So verse 4 to 6 gives us a glimpse of how the Trinity works together. So God, the Spirit, distributes different kinds of gifts so that we can serve God, the Son, our Lord, through the different services and works that God, the Father, is involved. And the Trinity is the best example of what unity is about. So they all have different functions, but they are of one mind. They are working the lives of believers, of you and I, with the purpose to build the church to glorify God. God, the Trinity, is a God of creativity and diversity. And Don Carson, a theologian, he puts it this way. He says, God creates every snowflake as different, but we humans, we make ice cubes. So in our fallen nature, we tend to think that in order to achieve unity, there must be some kind of uniformity. But God made all of us different on purpose. The diversity of the church is emphasized. The gifts are different. The services are diverse. The works are different. But it is the same God who gives the gifts and work in each person's lives. So diversity is not a disadvantage. It is an advantage because it is for the body of Christ to complement one another. That is the purpose of our gifts. God gives us spiritual gifts to edify others. The gifts are not for ourselves, but it is for other people in the body of Christ. And Michael Horton put it this way. Spiritual gifts are not my spiritual thing like, am I a Libra or a Capricorn? No, this is what has God given me that someone else needs. So you're not thinking, what has God given me for my own enjoyment, my own pleasure, but what has God given me for someone else and for the broader need of the broad body of Christ? When we think in those terms, we will also have what we need because someone else in the church has gifts to serve our needs. That's the way the body of Christ functions. God has given all of us a rich diversity of gifts for the full functioning and health of the whole church body. So God gives us diverse gifts in order for us to bless the church by meeting the needs of the people. So various gifts are given because there are different needs. The gifts are not an indication of our spirituality or how good, how useful we are, but they reflect the sovereignty of God. All our place in the body of Christ is assigned by God himself. He determines, he gives, and it is for the common good of the church. So God instituted the body so that the members will care for one another in both the suffering and the joys of life. Just like what Paul says in verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And when you think about it, we all do receive benefit and blessing when we serve others. It brings us joy to be able to help someone in need. It helps us develop meaningful relationships with one another. And it encourages us when we witness, we see the work of God in the lives of those we serve. And most of all, using our gifts to serve others, it helps shift our focus away from ourselves towards others. We become less self-centered, we become more other-centered, and more importantly, more Christ-centered. So God increases and I decrease. This is the dying to self. This is the taking up of the cross. This is following Jesus. And then in verse 8, it says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So when Paul speaks about spiritual gifts, even in the other passages in Romans and Ephesians, his central concern is that every believer fulfills his or her role in building the body of Christ. If you notice, he doesn't go much details into the gifts. There are exceptions, there are a few here and there, but we wish he would have gone into more detail so we can understand these gifts better. But his point was, regardless of what gifts we have, the more important thing is we use it to fulfill our roles to serve others in the church. In order to build the church, every believer must fulfill their role. The church cannot function in the way that it is intended if only one group of people are using their gifts to serve while others are only being served. So right after Paul speaks about the gifts, he describes the church as a body made up of many parts. He talks about the importance of each part, and we all are familiar with that analogy. About a week ago, I developed some pain on my heel. So initially, when it was small, I kind of ignored it, thinking that it will go away. But it became worse, and when I was walking, it was painful. So I couldn't walk properly, and I had to tiptoe so that I don't put pressure on my heel that would cause more pain to my heel. So when I tiptoed to walk, I find that my whole body had to adjust to that change. You have tried that before, right? For a long-term thing. And it changes my whole body posture. My whole body has to compensate what the heel could not do. So my whole body had to work harder to feel the role of my heel. Now, we all know if this goes on for a month, I might be overworking some parts of my body that may cause some damages to some other parts of my body. And if it goes on for a year, I think I would have to eventually see a physiotherapy, a chiropractor, or an orthopedic, not just for my heel, but for other parts of my body, because my other parts of body are doing the compensating and doing the postures that is not natural to them. And that is what has happened to some of us who have developed back or bone issues due to our bad posture. So it's the same with the church. if part of the body is not using their gifts to build the church, the others have to work harder to compensate the lack, because the church needs everybody. God gives everybody gifts. Everyone has a role in building the church, in serving the church. And in the episode, the first question I put there is, what are your spiritual gifts? And have you taken time to think about this? Have you taken time to discover what your spiritual gifts are? If you have not, I think that you should definitely do that. If you are called by God to be in Life Church, we invite you to come to serve alongside with the church with your gifts. And one more question, the more common questions when it comes to spiritual gifts is how then do I discover my gifts? There is no straightforward answer to that. We need to talk more about it. But the best way to discover our gifts is to be in a community, because it is in the community that we learn what we can do for each other. It is the church that helps us not only to discover, but also to develop our gifts so that we can serve one another, we can serve God better. Because at the end of it, like what we have mentioned in the beginning, the gifts are for us to serve others. So it will be futile if we try to find out our gifts all by ourselves, all alone. All right. So first, get involved in the lives of others in the church. So love and care for them as Jesus commanded. So we are all built for intimacy, and that comes through our relationship with God and with his people. And then second, serve the church. We don't have to wait until we have discovered our gifts before we can start serving. There is always a need in the church. There is always something that we can do. And as you start, as you are serving, you may even discover an area where the Spirit has equipped you to build up the body. And through that, you may discover and develop your spiritual gifts. And finally, number three, seek godly counsel. Speak to trusted people and the leadership so that we may journey alongside you to discover and then help you use your spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God, because this is the calling of the church. Now, I have to say that for some people, gifts are obvious and easy to spot, and from there, it is easy to build. It is easy to develop it. So you learn, you improve, and you use it to bless others. But for others, it may not be as straightforward. It may not be as easy to spot. And since spiritual gifts are given to build the church, to edify and to unite the church, instead of cracking our heads to figure out the spiritual gifts that we have, a better way of using our gifts is to start serving the church needs. And because that is what the whole purpose of the gifts are anyway. So I am one of those whose spiritual gifts are not so obvious. But thankfully, I did not wait till I found out what they are. But due to different reasons, I tried serving in different capacity. And what has helped me over the years is I began to see what is important. I began to learn and know God's heart. And I began to develop the areas that can contribute and serve the church. So for example, I wouldn't say that I'm naturally gifted to teach or to preach. But it is a part of my calling as a pastor. And I do believe that God's word is very important. And I believe in the importance of teaching the word of God to the church. And therefore, whether or not I think that it is my spiritual gift, I am learning to develop it. And slowly, it does become a spiritual gift in the sense that I am using it to build the church. And I understand that I need the Holy Spirit's help in my preaching and my teaching. And spiritual gifts are never dormant. Gifts are not meant to be kept. God gives us gifts so that we can use it. These gifts are meant to grow, to be developed, so that we can use it effectively to serve and bless others. So we should be good stewards of what God has given us. And like the parable of the talents, where when we meet God, we do want to hear him say, "Well done and good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So ultimately, our gifts, our services, the most important thing is love. That is the essence of it. And then in chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, Paul dives into the topic of love. This is a famous chapter that we usually read in marriage, but Paul is talking about the church. And in between the two chapters that talks about the spiritual gifts. So he warns us that if we have all the gifts we have, but has no love, it amounts to nothing. We are nothing. But at the same time, it is also true if we neglect our spiritual gifts, if we do not desire, we do not pursue, we do not develop them, we are also actually neglecting some aspect of love because we are not using what God has given us to serve others in love. So like Luke 11, 9 to 13, when Jesus reminds his disciples, let us pray this prayer, let us ask. And he says in verse 9, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we need to earnestly desire the Holy Spirit. We need to desire for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So pray, read, talk to the leaders, serve. So we're going to go into a time of prayer, and I've listed down the prayer items. And the first part is got to do with what we learned about the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit today. And like what I said in the beginning, there are a lot of different, a lot of misconception about the gifts. And we want to pray that God will renew our minds to understand what the gifts of the Spirit is in his perspective, in what the Bible says. And in doing so, as we submit to the Lordship of Jesus, that it will also stir us to serve, to minister to one another. And let's pray that God will help us to discover, to develop, to use our gifts to build the church, to serve one another. And let's pray also for the unity of the church, because that is what the Holy Spirit's desire is. And it's not not just our church, but the universal church, the churches in Malaysia, the churches in all over the world. Let's pray for unity. Then we will pray for the church as well. And the theme there is to be God's image bearer, for us to be transformed into his likeness, to be a lighthouse, that we will welcome and minister every person that God brings to us. We will be a place of healing, restoration, reconciliation, and even the workplace, that we will represent him in being courageous, to represent God in righteousness, justice, compassion, and wisdom. And then pray for salvation of our loved ones and the ministry in our church as well. After that, we pray for our nation. So I just want to encourage all of us to pray. And even as we have learned, we have looked through the gifts of the Spirit, we recognize that the gifts of the Spirit is used to build each other, to serve one another. And even in our prayer, in our communal prayer, this is where we can bless one another, we can serve one another. As we pray, we encourage one another, we build the church up, we speak into each other's life. And so I encourage you to join us as we pray. So let's pray. Father, we truly want to thank you, God, that you are a God who cares for your people. And you know, Lord, in our need, we cannot do all that you have called us to do by ourselves. And Jesus, you have said that you are the vine, we are the branches, and without you, we are nothing. We cannot do anything. God, we recognize, Lord, the calling that you have upon the church. And we know, Lord, that without you, God, we are not able to do any of that. And so we are thankful, God, that through the Holy Spirit, you have given us these gifts so that we can respond to your calling, so that we can learn to represent you so that we can bless one another, we can bless other people, so that we can serve each other and build the church, God. God, we want to repent, Lord, from the many ideas, many misconceptions that we have had in comparing our gifts, in putting people on the pedestal, in looking down on certain people. We want to ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you change us, Lord. You help us repent, Lord, from having those thoughts, those ideas, and from still believing it, God. God, we just ask that you replace all those lies with your truth, Lord. Renew our mind with your truth. We pray, God, that your word, Lord, will set us free from all those lies, that we will begin to see who you truly are and what your gifts truly are and what it is for, God. God, as we submit, Lord, to who you are, God, that we will learn that it is your calling and it is what you have done, Lord, what you did on earth, Lord, that you want us to serve one another, you want us to love one another and care for each other, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you help us not to run away from finding out our gifts, Lord. And even as we look to you to know our gifts, search our hearts, Lord. Let us come with the right motives, wanting to bless others, Lord. If there is any hinge of pride or self-righteousness, we pray that you rid us of all the stuff, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you rid us of our selfish ambitions, Lord. And we know, Lord, that it can only happen if we yield to you, God. And for those of us who are running away from finding out our gifts or serving you, Lord, we, whatever reasons it is, Lord, whether we are too comfortable with where we are, or whether we are fearful because we are afraid that we are not good enough, or we have put our value into what we do, we ask that you change our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you help us repent of those thoughts. We ask that you help us see who you are, God. And God, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to unite the church, Lord. Bring unity, Lord, in the churches in Malaysia, in the whole world, Lord. There is so much of division. There is so much of things that we do not agree upon. But God, help us, Lord, to put down our pride. Help us to put down whatever is not necessary, that is not important, but help us to see what unites us, Lord, that we will be an encouragement to one another, Lord. Help us stop competing with one another. Help us stop comparing, Lord, what we have or feeling superior from one another. But Lord, help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to serve one another, to bless the other churches that you have built, Lord. So we thank you, God. We pray that you continue to work in our hearts, God. The Holy Spirit will work in us and work in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we also want to pray, Lord, for the leadership of this nation. Dear God, the coming elections and the way things are, we just want to commit all of this into your hands, dear Lord, and we seek that your will be done and that you would bring justice and righteousness and mercy, Lord, into this nation, that there will be a renewal of things, dear God, through your Spirit. Also pray, Lord Father, for every church member, that wherever you have placed them, dear Lord, that they will rise as leaders, especially in the workplace, dear God, that they will trust you, Lord, that you are with them, that they will not be afraid, Lord Father, in spite of the challenges and the fact that the culture of the world is so different, dear Lord. But we pray, Lord Father, that kindness and wisdom and favor will abound, Lord Father, from our hearts, that we will truly invest, Lord, into the lives of people, developing people, and making sure, Lord Father, that that we are a blessing, Lord, for all, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that we also will be the instruments, Lord, that will stop, Lord, the problem of greed, Lord Father, that the wealth will be distributed evenly, Lord Father, that more people, Lord, who are in need, Lord, will get, Lord, the help that they need, dear Lord Father. We pray, Lord, also that we will be examples of compassion and love, that our speech, Lord Father, will build, Lord, and that others will catch on, Lord Father, rather than using words to tear down and words that are toxic to discourage and disparage people, dear Lord. We just pray, Lord Father, that we will have such a vision and that we will press on, Lord Father, to make that difference, Lord, in the workplace. Dear God, we pray that you continue, Lord Father, to move your church, Lord, to stand out, to be the prophetic, Lord, to speak out, Lord, in your name. We pray, Lord Father, that you would raise, Lord, men and women that will be moved in your heart, by your heart, Lord, to such a point, Lord, that they will, Lord, speak and that they will reveal, Lord, your heart, Lord, to this nation. We thank you, dear Lord. We praise you. We want to thank you that we are gathered in your name. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would continue to bless us throughout this week, that you would bless this coming Sunday service, Lord Father, that your anointing, your spirit, Lord Father, will be with us, dear Lord. We thank you. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, thanks, Jack. And good night, everyone. God bless.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you. Good night.